Genesis 25, 5 through 6. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east. When you look at that, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but then he gave gifts to other people. Seems like that's a contradictory of a statement, isn't it? You see, if he gave all that he had to Isaac, how did he have anything left to give to the concubines, the sons of the concubines? If you look up that word gift, Old Testament 49:79, it means a present, a sacrificial offering, or a bribe. You see, Abraham's first son was Ishmael. Am I right on that? Yeah. Alright, so Ishmael was the first son. But God said, because Ishmael was from a concubine, that through Sarah your seed would be called. And at that time she hadn't had a child. And she was past the age of childbearing, and she laughed at God. And I would say that Abraham was probably pretty shocked too, because I think he was a man in his 80s or 90s, you know. But God told him that through Isaac your seed would be called. Okay? So you can look at what happened here when Abraham sent those children away. He sent Ishmael away. He did it because of Ishmael's mother. There was some tension between the concubine and the wife because the wife couldn't bear, and she realized she had made a mistake by telling Abraham to do this, and she couldn't live with it. And so I guess Abraham couldn't live with her, so he sent the child away with the mother. But when it says a bribe, I mean, he was kind of soothing his conscience a little bit because he gave him something for the road to help him along. And he said, get out of my sight. Huh? Well, they were going through the desert. Anyway, my point here is that he gave them a gift. That's what I want us to see. He looked at who they were, what they needed, and he gave them something. Right? He said, a jug of water. They were going through the desert. They need that jug of water. Either way you look at it, a gift, by definition, is something specific. We don't buy gifts at Christmas time and just randomly give them to people. We don't go out and we buy a pair of boots and a pair of pants and a lamp. And a dish, you know, like old Cornex, Pyrex dish or whatever, and then just randomly give them to people, do we? That's not how we give gifts, is it? That's not how I give gifts. That ain't how y'all give gifts. Gifts are specific. And they're specific to the people's tastes or abilities, right? You would not give someone who built houses for a living, and he was very good at it, you wouldn't give them knit needles, would you? They don't sit around and knit. They build houses. You want to give them something useful? Give them a hammer. Give them a tool belt. You know? Give them a box of nails. Something they can use. Huh? Gifts are specific based on people's abilities. This was a conversation that we had had talking about Job and Abraham. Thought it was real good. Job 1:8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? God was very proud of Job. He says, have you considered him? And he told him, he said, there's none like him. But Genesis 12, 1 through 3, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Why did God choose Abraham to give the promise to when he was so proud of Job? You know why? He told Abraham, he said, his father was Terah. His father was an idol worshiper. And he told him, he said, get out from that land. Get out from your people, and I'll show you a land that I will give to you. He never really mentioned much about Abraham, about how proud he was, about how good of a person he was. But Job, man, he really raised Job up there. He even brought him, told Satan, he said, have you considered, you're walking around want to see somebody, why don't you look at my servant Job? Have you considered how good he is? That's somebody right there. And so, when just kind of reading through Job, I'm like, if God was so proud, why didn't he give to him the promise? It's a reasonable question, right? I mean, if you're proud of somebody and you have confidence in their abilities, you're going to give to them, right? That's the way we think. That's the way we work. Now, if you're looking at a resume, which of these two would you believe were the better man? They have references, right? You call them up and say, hello, yeah. Hey, I'm calling to check about Job. Oh, man, like him, there's none other. And then you call and you say, I'm going to check about Abraham. Said, well, his family was idol worshipers and he just left one day. Which would seem the better man here? I mean, obviously it'd be Job, right? God said he was proud of him. And when you read through Job, wow, man. So why didn't God choose Job to be the father of the faith and give the promise of circumcision to him? Job 2, 9 through 10. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? And you look that word up and it means innocence. He says, you really think that God sees you as innocent before him? You've done all these things. You've offered up all these sacrifices. You've done something. Somebody's done something. Why do you hold fast to your innocence? You really think that God sees you as blameless because of these sacrifices? Why don't you just curse God and die? But Job said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Hey, how do you handle something like that? Your whole family, your livestock, your whole ability to do anything in life was totally wiped out. And here was a man that refused to curse God. He wanted to praise him. And his wife didn't understand that. She said, we've lost everything, and you still hold on to your innocence before this God. Why don't you just curse him and die? Set out of anger. I've learned that I used to think that when something came out, it was from the heart, you know, and it was like, well, that's how you feel. But you know what? That's how you felt right then. And when that stuff comes out of your heart and you hear what you just said, you think, wow, I didn't realize that was in there. People say things out of anger they don't mean. That's why we got to be willing to forgive, because things happen and it's just in the heat of the moment. It just happens. You're angry at that moment, but that's not the type of person you are. She said, curse God and die. You look at it from her side, she was pretty upset that she'd lost all of her children. More than the livestock, more than the ability, she had just lost every one of her children. The house fell in on them. Look at Abraham here, Genesis 18, 20 through 25. Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, "Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it?" Verse 25, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall you not judge all the earth and do right?" Wow. Remember we talked about gifts were specific to their circumstances and their abilities. Sounds like to me these people had different abilities. Job was able to accept good and bad from God. Abraham, when he saw this that was going to happen, he questioned God. He questioned God's righteousness. Job never questioned God's righteousness. Job was able to take what came upon him because he never let go of two simple facts. One is that no matter what, the Lord is righteous. And no matter what, I deserve what I get. Those two things he held on to. Now he questioned God. God told him, he says, "You question me?" He says, "Now prepare yourself like a man and I will answer." He made sure we were in our place before he began to speak. But here Abraham questioned God. So these two people had different abilities. Even though God said that he was so proud of Job, guess what? Job wasn't the man that Abraham was. Abraham wasn't the man that Job was. If Abraham went through what Job did, guess what he'd have spent his time doing? Right here, he's saying, "Well, wait a minute. I've done all these sacrifices, and I've done the things that you want. Won't you do right and uplift me?" See, Abraham wasn't the man to go through the trials that Job did. And Job wasn't the man to accomplish what Abraham did. But God gave them both gifts. And he knew which man was suited for the job. They both desired to serve God, but they each had different gifts. Job had the patience to go through his trial, yet Abraham seemed to question God. He wouldn't have been a man to go through those trials. If he would have been Job, that book would have been totally different. It wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have shown us real trust and patience. Ah. But Abraham had trust. So we ask ourselves, was Job a better man than Abraham? That's what we like to do, right? Which one of us is better? Which one of us leads a better life? Which one has a better job, better car, better house? It's just a comparison that we make, you know? Nobody would be invited to a swanky soiree where you had to dress up and it was what they call a black tux affair, and then you show up in that thing I drive, right? We got a nicer car, but if that's all we had, rattles, and you pull up in there and you pull the emergency brake, and if the valet's gonna move it for you, you got to let him know that you got to make sure the clutch is pushed in or take it out of gear, because if you just try to start it with it in gear, it'll jump, you know. And when you go to pull the emergency brake, there's this thing that's on it. It's been jerry-rigged. You got to pull. You know, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. We compare ourselves, right? Maybe do we think that those people are better? They just had it better in life. But there's some way that we compare ourselves to other people. And so when we would look at this, which one was a better man? You know, if we used to look at this, we would see that I couldn't have done what Job did. I couldn't have had all those affliction come upon me and been the man that Job was. So I wouldn't have been the man that God would have put through that trial. But don't be so hard on Abraham, because they both wanted to serve God and they had different gifts. Both of them trusted God, but in a different way. I'll show you. Genesis 22, 7 through 12. "Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?'" This was Isaac asking Abraham. And Abraham said, "My son, He said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went on together. Verse 9, then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar. His son helped him build the altar. And they placed the wood in order. His son helped him do that. And then he bound Isaac and his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham had the faith to do this. Do you think that Job could have laid his son out and brought a knife to slay him? I don't know if Job had that in him when you read. Job loved his family. I'm not saying Abraham didn't, but there was a difference there between these two men. And God gave them the gifts that suited the person. Even though Abraham questioned God, those questions built a strong faith, and that faith was tested. Job's faith was tested, was it not? But he had the right man to go through the right situation by the gifts that God gave each person. There are no better men. You're not better than me, and I'm certainly not better than you. When we classify and we look, there are no better. There's only those who want to serve God with all their heart and all their strength. If Job couldn't have laid his son out like that to slay him, then God didn't ask him to do that. But it wasn't that God didn't expect for that to happen. He asked someone else, because of the gifts that he gave in accordance with their abilities. God is not asking you to do something that you are not able to do. You have to ask yourself, do you want to do what God wants you to do? Did Abraham want to slay his own son? Did Job really want to sing praises to God when everything, including his family, was lost? Job knew that God was worth it. It wasn't that he wanted to do these things. He knew God was worthy of these things. And so he persevered. Abraham knew that even if he was to slay his son, that in that child, God was going to bring forth his seed. And so he believed that he was going to slay his son on that mountain and God would raise him from the dead. Because he told those people, if you go back and look at the account, he says, the lad and I are going to worship and we will return. Why did he know that? Because God told him that your seed would be called in Isaac, not in Ishmael. In this child right here will be a nation of kings, will be a nation of people that I will call my own. Paraphrasing a little bit there. And so Abraham was willing to slay his son knowing that God would give him his life back. He would not withhold anything from God. But he wasn't the man Job was. And Job wasn't the man that he was. And neither one of these two were better. They were both willing to serve God with all their heart and all of their strength, based on the gifts that God had given both of them. Now, just to show you that this isn't just in this instance here, how about a doubting Thomas? Who'd like to be that guy? Remember him? They, in the upper room, they said when Jesus had come, and they said, Thomas, Thomas, you missed him. The Lord was here. And he said, I tell you what, you guys are crazy. He said, unless I see and put my finger in the nail prints and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Now, who wants to be that guy? John chapter 20, 28 through 29. And Thomas answered him and said, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. You know, one of the things that happened here, he says that because of their witness, the apostles' witness, we believe. Now, here was a guy that said, I'm not going to believe unless I see not just someone that looks like the risen Christ, but unless I see the one that had nail prints in his hands and a hole in his side, and unless I touch it, unless I see it for myself, I will not believe. And because of his witness, we know that this man would not have believed anything unless he truly saw the risen Christ. Who'd want to be a doubting Thomas? But look at what his gift. He wanted to make sure he knew for sure what he was putting his faith in. Look what that's done for us. You see, because Thomas questioned the validity of Jesus raising from the dead, he didn't think it could happen. He didn't want to see somebody that just looked like Jesus. He didn't say, unless I see Jesus. Because you know, back in those days with the long hair and the beards and the way they dressed, they all suffered the same fate. They all lived the same way. It was dusty, dirty. They were out working. They could have made somebody look like Jesus. It wasn't just if I see somebody that looks like him. He said, I want to know it was him. He says, I want to put my hand in where that sword went, where that spear was pushed into his side, and I saw blood and water come out. He says, I want to put my hand in there. Thomas questioned the validity of anyone raising from the dead, much less Jesus, whom he knew was dead. He didn't want to see someone who just looked like Jesus, but bearing witness to the wounds that Jesus had from the crucifixion, we know he wouldn't have made that statement, my Lord and my God, unless he had truly seen the risen Christ. And here was a guy that doubted, and we use his example with somebody that we don't want to be, because Thomas doubted, he didn't believe in Jesus unless he saw. We say, here was a man that lived by sight. But because he wasn't going to believe anything unless he knew for sure, we can take stock in it that this man who said, my Lord and my God, he saw the risen Christ. He put his hand in his side. And when he saw that, he fell to his knees and he says, my Lord and my God. Every one of us has a gift that God has given us to use. And you know, the honest truth is, we're not, none of us the same. Abraham and Job and Thomas, you can look at them and their only quality is that they believed in their God. And they were willing to serve Him with all of their heart and all of their mind. And by doing this, this is what brought about a conversion to the entire world. When these people went out and they preached about a risen Christ, man, they wanted to share everybody because death was a final thing. And they wanted to share with everybody that He had risen from the dead. And the church grew like wildfire because of the message. Take confidence in knowing the Holy Spirit has given you wonderful gifts that only you can use. The Bible tells us, and I think it's Corinthians, that there is one Spirit, and He gives the gifts as He sees fit to the person. So you ask yourself, you know, like, what are my gifts? Do you know what makes those gifts? The circumstances that are in your life. We spend so much time being upset about the circumstances of our life. And hey, I like to complain. I like to fuss about things that I don't think are fair. Why me, this or that? And I don't know how far I go down those roads, but I can worry somebody to death. those circumstances is why God gave the gifts to you that He did. Stop worrying about where you're at and what you're going through. Start looking and seeing how God can use you where you're at and what you're going through. With most assuredness, the gifts aren't always the most magnificent one to raise, the most magnificent ones that we want to put on a banner and wave around. Hey, I don't believe nothing unless I see it. Doubting Thomas right here, I don't believe nothing unless I see it. Hey, me, I'm going to question God. I'm going to question authority. I don't believe anything. I got to know the answers. You know, Abraham. Hey, I lost everything and I got sores all over me, but I'm going to be stupid and say that this God loves me. Right? He did. Talking about Job? Yeah, he did. But what I'm saying is that God has given us a gift that only you can use. And if you use that gift, that's how the church grows. That's what He's done it for. Because see, we have to have somebody. God's not concerned about numbers. He's concerned about hearts. And we have to have somebody to pass this knowledge down to, so that the next generation can teach the next generation. God has given you a gift that only you can use. Only you. And He's given it to you based on your abilities and the circumstances that you're in. I could even begin to tell you what that gift is. But God has given you one. And when we read through Scripture and we read about all these people, we see all the wonderful things they've done. And so we think we have to mirror our lives after them. Don't take that out of context. I mean, we follow the apostles' teaching. We worship on Sunday because that's the day the Lord raised. That's the day that the apostles met on the first day of the week. But I'm saying we don't all have to be Pauls. We don't all have to be Peters. We don't all have to be Jobs. A Job is not an Abraham. A Peter is not a Paul. But all of these men brought about a conversion in other people's lives, including their own, because they used the gift that God gave them. And when you look at people, you think, gosh, this person would seem better fit for that. I would have thought that Job, that was my first question, is how come, if God thought Job was so great, why didn't He bring the promise to him? Because of the abilities Job had and the circumstances that he's in, He brought it to Abraham and not him. But He did not neglect Job, and He gave him a gift to praise God in all the affliction. And you mean to tell me that those three people that were sitting there and they saw Job, how he could continue to praise God and all that had happened, you don't think that that was a gift? Strength. Real trust. If Job were here and he come around this table, he would have been on his knees and he would have been begging God, show me where my error is. Show me how I can cleanse myself before you. Because it was the type of person Job was. He made sacrifices for his own kids. He said in his mind, he said, because possibly they have sinned and didn't even know it. And he says, I want to make a sacrifice for something they did and they didn't even mean to or didn't even know they did. If Job had this offer, he would come before this table and he would beg God to show him his flaws and where he could improve to serve Him. What a wonderful gift that we have. And that's given to the whole church. But when you come around this table, you let God reflect yourself to yourself. You examine yourself when you come around this table. Find that gift that God has given you and you use it to the best of your abilities. And when we do that, we will have somebody to teach. You're right, Job was given back his family. Job taught that family. There's no doubt in my mind because of the, he loved the family that he had. He offered sacrifices for them. Abraham had somebody to teach, and that was Isaac. And Isaac had somebody to teach, that was Jacob. That's why we're given a call by the gospel to repent and be baptized, every one of us, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and we will receive the gift of that Holy Spirit. Look, the gift that God has for you is personified in the Spirit that is in you. That gift that the Spirit brings, He gives you strength to use. But you have to have the Holy Spirit to use that gift. God doesn't take a person and make them not themselves. He takes a person and He helps you do something that you've always wanted to do but never had the strength to do it. But remember, it's for Him, not you. So what is your gift? God has given every one of us a gift to use. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?